The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Former President Trump has begun accelerating his campaign for the White House in 2024. At a campaign stop in Columbia, South Carolina yesterday, he talked about elections.
What was the difference between 2020 and 2016? I said the difference is we did much better in 2020. We did. Got many millions of more votes. But we got to be careful on election day, or as they call it now, election period, because these election days have gone into a long time. Another crazy thing that's happened.
Two Trump allies in South Carolina, Senator Lindsey Graham and Representative Russell Fry, both spoke at the event. Iran's defense ministry says one of its factories was attacked by drones in the central city of Isfahan yesterday, causing minor damage to a rooftop. Three drones were shot down by air defenses. This is SRN News.
Hugh Hewitt wants answers from Washington.
There's a legacy media blind spot, bias, idiocy. I don't know, but somebody's got to ask the question. This looks like a grand jury subpoena. It smells like a grand jury subpoena, and it walks with an FBI jacket like a grand jury subpoena. This is the fourth time around the block for the Biden document.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings at 5 on AM 1280, The Patriot, Intelligent Radio. AM 1280, The Patriot.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help this station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
Dennis Prager here. Sue and I mean it. Dogs are part of our family. We love Otto and Snoopy so much. There's nothing quite like their loyal companionship. So we provide them with Rough Greens. In fact, I just talked to my wife about it because we want them to be healthy and we want them to be with us as long as possible. That's true. I know Sebastian Gorka feels the same way.
The Pragers and I couldn't agree more. Our pups, Killian and Leia, rely on us to provide what's best for them. And naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has packed Rough Greens full of vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, omega oils, and more that supplement their food in a way that has shown us great results. Trying out Rough Greens is an easy yes, recommended by me, Dr. G.
Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black here, and I'm so proud that the Pragers and Sebastian Gorka have entrusted their dog's health to Rough Greens. I'm so confident that Rough Greens can help your dog, I'm offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover the shipping. Yes, your dog's food is dead food, but you can bring it back to life with Rough Greens. Go to RUFFGreens.com.
Liberty Classical Academy invites you to our Education and Society event. These events provide better conversations about freedom, learning, and leading. The next event is Thursday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. You'll have the opportunity to hear a world-renowned foreign relations expert for free. Ken Pope of the Victims of Communism Foundation in Washington, D.C. will share insight from his career in the U.S. Army, consulting, and academia, which make him the perfect person to discuss the global impact of communism and its role today. Ken and his special guest will share firsthand experience with imprisonment in Cuba. Ken will also discuss the Russia-Ukraine war and even China's influence. Again, this is a great opportunity for you to learn more about the global impact of communism and its role in current events. Make plans to attend this free event on Thursday, February 2nd at Liberty Classical Academy White Bear Lake campus. For more information about Ken Pope and this event, visit libertyclassicalacademy.org.
Your children and grandchildren are inheriting a world that's more upside down than ever before. They'll need extraordinary skills to make a positive impact. A Christian education will give them the solid foundation they need to not only endure, but thrive. And that education is available for half off their first year through TwinCitiesTuitions.com. To see our full list of participating schools and to see if the half-off tuitions program is a good fit for your family, go to TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
Isn't it time you trade your old Salt Hog for a new WET Technology water softener from Commerce? Commerce will give you $400 for your old softener and haul it away, too. Save salt, save water, and you're back. Go to Commerce.com. Commerce Water. That's Commerce.com.
Soaking up the sun in Fiji, walking through the sculpture garden in Minneapolis, or standing in awe at the Grand Canyon. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Portions of this program may have been pre-recorded.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thanks, Doc. This morning, we're going to spend the next hour with Dr. Bill Blank, who is a retired ophthalmologist. He's also an aviation medical examiner, an ATP-rated pilot with some 6,000 hours in his logbook. He's also a certified flight instructor and has given 1,200 hours of aerobatic flight instruction. He's also written many articles for various aviation magazines, including my favorite, the Midwest Flyer, where he writes high on health. He was also an air show performer through the 2014 season. And, oh, did I mention he's 80 years old? Dr. Blank, welcome to the World of Aviation.
Well, thank you, Al. It's a pleasure to be with you.
My pleasure. What came first, learning how to fly or becoming a physician?
Oh, becoming a physician. I guess I was always interested in airplanes, but I always really wanted to be a doctor, so I had graduated from medical school before I learned to fly.
What school did you graduate?
Medical school, Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland.
Your undergraduate studies, what school were you at then?
Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. That's where Winston Churchill made the Iron Curtain speech.
Ah. I presume you weren't there for that.
I wasn't there for that. But one really interesting thing, when I was on campus, President Truman was on the board of directors, and he came to the campus a couple of times when I was a senior. I had lunch with him one time, and I actually walked across the campus with him, taking him to a meeting.
Wow.
Myself. He and I, no Secret Service, nothing.
You know, that doesn't surprise me. When he left the White House, he and Bess, his wife, they just got on the train and went back to Missouri. I always thought he was a really remarkable individual, and he's finally getting the credit he deserves as when he was the president.
I would agree with you, and times were different then. You know,
yeah.
There was no security issue at all. It was just him and me.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Having a conversation just like you and I are having.
Yeah. You look at the tough decisions that he had to make as president. He had to make one of the toughest decisions that any president has ever made, and we're talking about the atomic bombs.
That's right. I think being president is always a hard job. It's hard to be perfect, and I think he certainly gave it his best shot.
Yeah, unreal. Any idea how many medical examiners are also pilots? Are you a rarity or not?
I wouldn't say I'm a rarity, but I think there are less medical examiners now who are pilots than there were, say, 20 or 30 years ago. I think 20 or 30 years ago, probably maybe 60-70% of the examiners would have been pilots. It has been decreasing gradually. I can tell that because I talk at the seminars for the new aviation medical examiners, and most of the new ones are not pilots.
I think it's really nice as a pilot that you have a medical examiner that knows what it's like to be a pilot, my medical examiner out here in Colorado, she is not a pilot, but she's also she's a physician, but she's also in the Wyoming Air National Guard as a flight surgeon. And she has a real understanding of pilots because she spends a lot of time with them.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think that's helpful. And I think the other thing about being a pilot and being a medical examiner is you understand how the FAA works, how the bureaucracy works. And in the aviation medical world, it isn't all just about pilots' health, but it's also about navigating the aeromedical certification system.
Yeah, yes, which sometimes can be difficult. to say the least.
And if it's not straightforward, it can be difficult and definitely time-consuming.
Yeah, yeah. You certainly can.
If Amazon had some trouble with their website, they'd probably have it fixed this afternoon. But with the FAA, they're on a totally different time schedule.
Isn't that the truth? And I think when we look at the NOTAM breakdown that we had a couple of weeks ago is a prime example of that.
Yes, you're right.
Unbelievable. Well, let's go back in time here. Where did you grow up?
Belleville, Illinois. Right across the river from St. Louis, next to East St. Louis.
As a kid, when a plane would fly over, was it bewilderment to you? Were you looking up at the sky going, how is that plane up in the air like that?
I don't know that I was thinking about how it went up in the air, but Belleville is about 5 miles from Scott Air Force Base. So we had a lot of airplanes flying over, and there's something in my kindergarten report card. I would jump up and look out the window when I was supposed to be doing something else. It goes back a long ways.
You're probably like me. You're a few years older than I am. But I remember so distinctly Minneapolis St. Paul, the international airport. There was the Navy base, and we had a lot of jets taking off, and we would experience sonic booms in the 1950s. It was very common. It would rattle the windows, and I got a feeling you, being close to a military base, experienced the same thing.
I don't remember that. Somehow I missed the sonic booms. The one thing I do remember, right after World War II, we went to Scott Air Force Base for an air show. And for some reason, a squadron of Lancaster bombers came in. They were all either pink or white. There must have been 20 of them. And they landed one after another. And the story was that they were on their way home from India to Canada. And that's one thing I remembered and never imagined, that essentially I'd never see a Lancaster bomber again.
They're rare.
Yeah, they sure are.
That's an incredible story. I'm surprised that you don't recall the sonic booms. Maybe it was too big of an area to be doing that. But we, as kids, my brother Dave and I, we still talk about that to this day, about the sonic booms. We'd be out in our tree fort that we built in the backyard, and kaboom! You know, the whole tree would shake. It was fun. It was.
Somehow I just missed that. I do remember an earthquake down there, though, one time.
Really?
There's some kind of a fault down in Illinois, the New Madrid Fault or something like that, and we had a couple of earthquakes, nothing like in California, but I remember the house shaking and the pictures moving a little bit.
Wow. You know, likewise here, I remember in the mid-70s, living in Alexandria, Minnesota, Saturday morning, my wife and I are sleeping, and all of a sudden the bed started shaking, and I got up and I walked out into the hallway, and just as I made the transition from the bedroom to the hallway, it stopped. And I thought, did I dream that? And I went back to bed, and when we got up, I turned on the radio station that I worked at, and they were talking about this earthquake that hit that area that morning. And I remember Kathy and I going, we didn't know that we were in an area where it could have earthquakes. And it was a rarity. It was really something. Dr. Blank, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and continue to talk with you about your career as a medical examiner and as an ATP pilot. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly. Two locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and Bristol Airport. This is the Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Earn as you learn when you enroll in the Apprentice Support Program at Academy College. There is an immediate need for aircraft maintenance technicians. Academy uses the proven approach of learning through on-the-job training, coupled with an educational element to prepare you to become a certified aviation mechanic in 30 months. Academy College offers support for those looking to hire an apprentice or to become an apprentice. For more information, call Academy at 952-851-0066. The next open house is February 15th. This is Al Malmberg. This Valentine's Day, give your loved one a scenic flight from Thunderbird Aviation. You'll see stunning views day or night as you fly over the Twin Cities. Go over beautiful Lake Minnetonka, cruise over the state capitol, and circle over downtown Minneapolis. You can even experience an evening flight and see the lights of the Twin Cities. You can even fly over your home, but don't forget your camera. For more information, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. That's ThunderbirdAviation.com.
Master Pool and Spa's New Year Sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory and up to 80% off remaining 2022s from Minnesota's largest spa dealer. Drive a little, save a lot. We have the largest selection at unbeatable prices. Free delivery and trade-ins welcome. Master Pool and Spa's New Year Sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory. Master Pool and Spa, 394 Louisiana, 952-253-0665. Master Pool and Spa's New Year Sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory and up to 80% off remaining 2022s from Minnesota's largest spa dealer. Drive a little, save a lot. We have the largest selection at unbeatable prices. Free delivery and trade-ins welcome. Master Pool and Spa's New Year Sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory. Master Pool and Spa, 394 Louisiana, 952-253-0665.
Over the next couple of decades, the aviation industry is going to need hundreds of thousands of new pilots. This is a tremendous opportunity if you've ever thought about being an airline pilot. Al Malmberg here for Academy College of Aviation. Through Academy College, you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business, IT, or aviation. Academy College offers career-specific courses that will help you advance in your chosen field. If you're looking at aviation, you can enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the FAA-approved Dispatch course. No matter what your current circumstances, you have the flexibility to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate with the knowledge necessary to compete in your chosen field. Reach your dreams and live up to your full potential with a degree from Academy College. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu. Next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Dr. Bill Blank. Bill is not only a medical examiner, he's an ATP-rated pilot, CFI, flight instructor. In fact, he's given some 1,200 hours of aerobatic flight instruction. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Let's talk about the basic med, if we could, Doctor. How confusing was that when that program was first approved by Congress? And for a lot of us, I'm on the basic med, and it makes it somewhat easier to go through the system to get the basic med. How confusing was it for the medical community to figure out how to go about this?
I think it was confusing for the medical community because most of the doctors knew nothing about it because they weren't involved in certification of pilots. And initially, the FAA wasn't particularly helpful about it because they didn't like the idea in the first place. I think now physicians are beginning to understand it a little bit. But I think it's still confusing. But I have a basic med, too. And what I tell older pilots is that I think if you don't need anything more than a basic med, get a basic med. And the major advantage to it is that it keeps the FAA from being involved in your medical. It's not necessarily that the FAA wouldn't eventually certify you if you have any issues. It's just that it's so cumbersome and takes so long that, you know, a lot of people aren't willing to wait that long.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And who, I don't know any pilot personally that would go up if he thought or she thought there was going to be a medical situation that might develop. Do you?
No, in general, I don't think people do that. There are a few people who are risk takers, but, you know, I think they're the minority. I think most people, well, the same thing's probably true about people who drive cars, although I think some of them certainly think differently than most of us do. But I think,
yeah.
I don't know of any pilots that goes flying knowing that he thinks he might have a heart attack while he's in the airplane.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, who knows the health of a pilot better, the medical board in Oklahoma City or a pilot and his physician?
That's right. I agree. Because the medical people in Oklahoma City, all they're doing is looking at records. Yeah. They never examine the patient.
Nope. And it, and basic is, I think it's been a godsend. It's absolutely fantastic. It truly is how it works.
And, you know, the other thing is that with basic med, we're not asking anybody to certify somebody to fly the space shuttle or the X-15, you know.
Exactly. Yes. Yep. Or a 777.
That's right.
Yeah. I've got a couple of questions here for you. What meant more to you, being inducted into the Wisconsin Hall of Fame or to receive the Wright Brothers Master Pilot Award?
I don't know. I guess probably the Hall of Fame. The Wright Brothers Award, you know, that's partly an award for having been able to stay alive and fly that long. The Hall of Fame is something I never would have imagined, you know, when I learned to fly, you know, I never figured I'd do anything significant enough that anybody would honor me for it.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what year did you start flying?
1968, Anoka County Airport. I learned to fly in 1968, Northland Aviation, Anoka County. My flight instructor's name was Jim Reniker. Wonder if he's still around.
If he is, maybe he'll call.
No, that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. What type aircraft did you train in at Anoka?
Cessna 150, and it was kind of an interesting deal. My wife, I was an intern at Hennepin County, and my wife worked for 3M. They had a flying club called the Wings of Tartan. And the Wings of Tartan, you joined, you paid your money. I don't remember how much. When you left the club, you got your money back. And what they did, they had a discount negotiated with many of the FBOs around the Twin Cities. And I think the deal was if a 150 rented for $15 an hour retail, you could get it for $10.
Wow.
And if the flight instructor was $7.50 an hour, so you could get it for $5. And I could pretty much figure out how much it cost me to learn to fly because it was $5 or $10 an hour times 40. So that was 400 and 20 hours a duel at $5.
Wow. Isn't that something? But, you know, back then that was a lot of money, really.
Well, it was. But it was still a good deal to me because, you know, what happened after I finished my internship, we went to Philadelphia where I had my ophthalmology residency. And, you know, I could rent a Piper Cub for $10 an hour in Philadelphia or a 150 for $25 when I could have rented one in the Twin Cities for $15.
Wow. That's incredible. Learning to fly out of Anoka and then going to Philadelphia. Were you flying at an airport under the umbrella of Class B Airspace, I presume, in Philadelphia?
Well, Class B didn't even exist then.
Oh.
But it was close to the Philadelphia International Airport, but it wasn't really an issue back then. Things were kind of different. I first flew at Wings Field at Ambler. That's where I think the AOPA was founded. And mm-hmm. I only did that for a couple hours. That was too expensive. And then I got checked out in a J3 Cub because mm-hmm. I could afford to do it. It was cheaper.
Well, what was it like for you going from a tricycle gear to a tail dragger?
Different. I wasn't ready for it. And I wasn't ready to fly an airplane that didn't have any instruments.
Hmm.
And, it's totally different flying a J3 than a 150. I mean, they fly the same, but the information you get is different. You get it in a different way. And so I was kind of challenged for a little while. And the first flight instructor I had, I didn't particularly like. He kind of kept making comments, how did you ever pass your pilot's license? Well, I didn't try to do it in the J3 Cup, you know.
He was obviously trying to build up your confidence level.
Yeah, he was kind of, well, we don't need to talk much about him. But the other thing, very interesting, when I really got the tailwheel checkout, I got it at a place called Van Sant in Irwinna, Pennsylvania. And the guy that did the tailwheel training, pilot's license number was 1,000, and he had learned to fly in a Jenny.
Wow.
And interesting to know the guy, but he was an example of what happens when you don't have any education. During World War II, he taught all these guys how to fly, and his students were flying 747s for Pan Am, and he was still a flight instructor because he didn't have much education, and he really couldn't use an E6V.
And he was probably great with a stick.
Oh, yes, and he liked to do spins. And he liked to do rolls. And somehow, every time during a flight instruction lesson, he'd get the urge to do a spin. And you mind if I fly just for a minute or two? And I was very nuts about it at the time. I was hanging on for dear life, but it kind of got me into it.
Oh, that's funny. That really is. When you were learning to fly the tail dragger, how difficult was it to overcome the ground loops?
Well, I guess I didn't have that much problem with that. I think what was different for me was that you had to get the attitude of the airplane by looking up. You, after all, the big sky is really an attitude indicator for you. But, you know, I was used to the DG and the artificial horizon, and it took me a while to figure that out. And I remember one time an instructor was in the back seat of the Cub, and he was asking me how fast I was going when he couldn't see the airspeed indicator. And he was I was asking him, how do you figure that out? He was telling me about attitude. And when I got to teaching aerobatics in the back seat of a decathlon, I realized it was the same thing. And you can tell that, but, you know, certainly at my stage learning to fly, I couldn't tell it. I couldn't tell the obvious, you know.
Yeah. Was it the Cessna 150 that you first soloed in?
Yes.
And I ask this of just about every guest. What do you remember about that solo? Because it's a day none of us forget.
The only thing I remember about it is on downwind, I realized that I was there by myself and I was going to have to get this job done by myself, but I don't remember being particularly either happy or anxious. I think I must have felt I was ready and figured I could get the job done. And the major question was, could you get a good landing or a kind of a bounced landing? But actually, I don't remember it being anything but sort of ordinary.
You know, the one thing that I distinctly remember is how light the airplane was. And how quickly we lifted off the runway without the instructor in the right seat.
That's true.
Amazing. We're going to take a break. Our guest is Dr. Bill Blank, and there's so much to talk about here. He taught aerobatics, and I presume that
that you might still be doing that. We will find out. We're talking with Dr. Bill Blank, and you are listening to The World of Aviation. Sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, two locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
This is Al Malmberg. If you have children between the ages of 10 to 15, this could be for them. Every summer, Thunderbird Aviation hosts the Young Flyers Camp. It's 4 days a week for young, aspiring aviators. These camps are held at both Thunderbird locations, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport in June, July, and August. This four-day course gives young flyers the opportunity to explore aviation in depth, along with 2 hours of flight time with an instructor. For more information, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. There are a number of things that you have to learn to get your private pilot's license. One of those is the written FAA exam. To successfully pass, you need a solid ground school to learn about weight and balance, radio communications, pre-flight actions, understanding aeronautical charts for navigation, along with the principles of aerodynamics and aircraft systems. Thunderbird Aviation offers 3 different ground schools that will assure your success on the exam. For more information, visit their website at ThunderbirdAviation.com.
Sightseeing in Paris, at the mall in Bloomington, or on horseback in Dallas. We're where you are. Listen to AM 1280, The Patriot, at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Are you looking for trusted insight and knowledge on how the eyes reflect the connection between health, lifestyle, sports, and nutrition? Tune into my show, Open Your Eyes Radio, Saturday at 9 a.m. with me, Dr. Kerry Gell. I'm an optometrist with more than 3 decades of experience, a keen interest in longevity and lifestyle, with a never-ending focus on the 4 basic principles of health: nutrition, exercise, stress reduction, and sleep. Listen and learn with me every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Hear the top voices in conservative radio on your Amazon smart speaker.
Now streaming AM 1280 The Patriot, intelligent radio.
Just ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis. That's play The Patriot Minneapolis.
A commercial airliner cannot take off without the signed flight release of the captain and a dispatcher. That is how pivotal the role of a flight dispatcher is. Being a flight dispatcher is an incredible career, and Academy College in Bloomington offers an FAA-approved flight dispatcher course. This course is an intensive 10-week course that covers regulations, meteorology, aircraft systems and performance, and so much more. The dispatcher course at Academy College will help you excel in this field. This FAA-approved course is recognized by all the airlines across the country. Class size is limited for a healthy student-to-instructor ratio. For those who qualify, this program is eligible for the application of VA benefits. Academy College is located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. Next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Dr. Bill Blank is our guest, a member of the Wisconsin Hall of Fame, Aviation Hall of Fame, the Wright Brothers Master Pilot Award, which is a tremendous award. That's for professionalism, expertise, and showing their skills for at least 50 years. And I believe you have to be accident-free, don't you, Dr. Blank, for those 50 years?
At least if there was an accident, there has to have been a good reason.
Yeah.
You somebody that was reckless.
You were also an aerobatic performer for about 30 years. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I started out as an aerobatic flight instructor, and somehow that morphed into doing air shows. I probably would have never done an air show if George Bolin and Winona hadn't asked me to put on a demonstration, and I had no idea what you had to do to put on a demonstration to be legal, and that kind of led to the air show waiver.
How many years did you perform aerobatics at air shows?
I think about let me look here. I think it was about 25, 30 years.
Could you paint a picture on the radio of what your typical performance would look like?
Well, it was all low altitude, or it got lower as, you know, I got better at it. When I put the performance together, my idea was to sort of demonstrate everything a decathlon could do so that somebody who was interested in aerobatics might be interested in buying a decathlon. I got a little bit of support from American Champion, not much, but that was the idea behind it. So it had loops and rolls, all the basic maneuvers that you'd learn in, say, a 10-hour aerobatics course, including spins. And so, and up to the outside loop, which was about as much outside stuff as I like doing.
When you're doing an air show like that, and you're doing the aerobatics, and you're doing one right after another, as I learned to fly, my instructor, Ray Lorimore, always said, stay ahead of the plane. Doing aerobatics and doing one routine right after another, how difficult is it to stay ahead of the plane?
We have to plan it ahead of time, and you have to make sure when you finish the last maneuver that you have the energy to do the next maneuver. So you have to butt this all out. And with a decathlon, it'll fly upside down for about a minute and a half before it runs out of gas and you have to roll upside up to refill the header tank. You have to have all that figured out ahead of time in the air show so that everything you can do is possible, doable, that you're comfortable with it, because you don't want to be muddling around at 200 feet trying to figure out, you know, which pedal should I push or anything like that. Once you get it figured out, I think it's relatively safe to do, but you have to plan it ahead, and you definitely don't want to throw something in for the crowd that you've never done before just because you think it might look good.
Hmm. An old friend of mine, we were talking about, I don't remember what model it was, Boeing, but the pilot of this Boeing, when they premiered this new Boeing airliner, the pilot flew it upside down across Puget Sound. We were talking about this. I said, that's pretty amazing. And my friend said, why is it amazing? A plane doesn't know if it's upside down or right side up. The flight characteristics are exactly the same. And I thought, well, yeah, isn't that the truth? Would you agree with that?
There's some truth to that, and you could actually safely roll a lot of airplanes that you're not supposed to roll because they weren't built for it. But as long as you keep it within the envelope, the airplane really doesn't know any difference whether it's upside up or upside down, but you have to keep it positive in terms of positive Gs.
Right. After being an aerobatic pilot, does it seem mundane, boring to fly a plane without doing aerobatics?
No, not at all. You know, aerobatics is fun, but, you know, I'm past the stage where every time I go flying, I have to do a loop. I think there was a stage in my life when I did. But, I think where aerobatics really comes in is making you a better pilot and making you understand your capabilities and the airplane's capabilities. And I think I fly better as a pilot, because of all my aerobatic experience. It translates to even into simple things like making turns, making good turns, being coordinated, being able to control your airspeed on final. I don't think that flying is boring if you don't do aerobatics. In fact, I don't do very much aerobatics anymore, and I guess that's partly, I've been there, I've done that. Certainly all of the positive stuff I can still do, and I do it occasionally, and it's kind of fun, you know. Things mm-hmm. like the outside loops never were fun, and I just don't have any reason to do an outside loop and see if I can blow out a blood vessel in my brain and wind up on the front page of CNN.
That's pretty good. Are you still instructing aerobatics or not?
No, not at all. That's more for younger people. I'm really not doing very much instructing at all anymore, but definitely not aerobatics. I kind of have strong feelings about aerobatics, and I think if you're going to do aerobatics, you should have a good course. I don't like this idea of showing somebody how to do a roll, and then they're going to go out and do an aerobatic pilot or showing them how to do a loop, because a big part of aerobatics is figuring out how to get out of something you shouldn't have gotten yourself into. And that's part of the advantage of aerobatics in general in terms of flying an airplane, just normally, is figuring out how to get out of messes that you accidentally got yourself into. And so I think the guy that has been shown how to do a roll in the loop, if he follows it up, the likelihood that he's going to recover is going to be very low, and you're going to have an accident.
I would think that ground school is just crucial for someone who is learning aerobatics. Or am I wrong?
Well, to an extent. I kind of approached it differently. I did most of my instructing in the air, but then afterwards we would have a briefing. And usually, whatever I was teaching, I demonstrated the preceding lesson, maybe talked about it a little bit on the ground. Because, you know, with aerobatics, there's certainly an anxiety issue for a lot of students. So sometimes I figured talking too much about it before they did it made it more difficult. But somewhere along the line, there has to be some ground school, some explanation for what you're doing and why you're doing it and how it works.
Is there a type personality that you've seen of a person who wants to do aerobatics, who's really good at aerobatics, or not?
I don't know about the personality. Some people took to it better. There's always the issue for some people of air sickness. You can get air sickness to some extent if you fly often. Some people just have the physical makeup that from the first lesson, they could ride through anything you did and be giggling and smiling, and boy, that was fun. They had never done anything like that before and have no anxiety. And other people, you know, they aren't quite wired that way, and you have to work with them slowly. But that doesn't mean in the end that they can't wind up being just as good an aerobatic pilot.
Did you ever have students that say, this isn't for me, after a lesson or two?
Out of all the students I had, I only had two quit. And both of them just weren't really willing to commit to what you have to do to be an aerobatic or to get through an aerobatic course. Other than that, no, I had one student that had tremendous anxiety. His wife gave him aerobatic lessons for Christmas. Mm. And we got in the airplane, and I forgot what we did. We did a wing over, and he told me that, boy, he wished he wasn't in this airplane. His wife gave him these lessons. And I said, well, you know, I'll give you your money back. We can go in and land. Well, maybe we can work this out. We actually got through 10 hours, but he actually had a commercial and an instrument rating, and he was afraid of stalls. Wow. We got through all that.
That's surprising, because when you're training to get your private license, you do stalls.
Right. It surprised me. I was flabbergasted. Yeah. But we worked through it. He's a nice guy. He flew for a few more years and then got interested in other things, but I think we accomplished a great deal. But that was probably one of the more interesting situations that I had.
Like getting your instrument reading, I would think that learning aerobatics makes you a much better pilot.
Oh, I think so, and that's one of the major reasons to do it. You know, one thing I got a kick out of, a lot of my students would be people who just got an instrument rating. Well, how long does it take to make a 360-degree turn? Instruments, 2 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can turn an airplane acrobatically around in a lot less than 2 minutes. And so it was interesting. You'd get them, and, you know, they didn't want to bank very much, and they didn't want to pull. And you know, you'd be sitting there in the back seat and essentially nothing was happening, because that's kind of the way instrument flying goes. It's very careful and slowly orchestrated. So that was kind of fun. But, you know, the reason to take aerobatics really is to make you a better pilot.
You had mentioned 10 hours. Is that the length of the course that you would have, or was that guy short?
No, I had two courses, a five-hour and a 10-hour course. And I took a 10-hour course when I learned. And I think to be relatively competent in all the basic aerobatic maneuvers, it takes about that long. But, you know, we were talking about doing more things than just loops and rolls. One thing I don't know, you've probably not thought about, but my feeling on aerobatics, the maneuver that separates the men's from the boys is the slow roll. And if you can do a good slow roll, you really understand how an airplane flies. And it takes a while to learn how to do that. And takes some practice and somebody figuring out what you're not doing quite right. And I found that my course was 10 hours that I took. And, you know, by the time I took it, 8 or 9 hours, I was getting it figured out. And most of the students, you know, by the time they got to the 10th hour, you weren't teaching them anything new. You were just reviewing, and, you know, that worked out well for me.
Dr. Blank, when we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want you to describe to us the slow roll and how you do it. I think that'll be interesting to hear your, again, paint us a picture on the radio of the slow roll. And when you're flying the plane, exactly what you are doing. We will take a break. Dr. Bill Blank is our guest, and you are listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly. Two locations in the Twin Cities, at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Earn as you learn when you enroll in the Apprentice Support Program at Academy College. There is an immediate need for aircraft maintenance technicians. Academy uses the proven approach of learning through on-the-job training, coupled with an educational element to prepare you to become a certified aviation mechanic in 30 months. Academy College offers support for those looking to hire an apprentice or to become an apprentice. For more information, call Academy at 952-851-0066. The next open house is February 15th. This is Al Momberg. This Valentine's Day, give your loved one a scenic flight from Thunderbird Aviation. You'll see stunning views day or night as you fly over the Twin Cities. Go over beautiful Lake Minnetonka, cruise over the state capitol, and circle over downtown Minneapolis. You can even experience an evening flight and see the lights of the Twin Cities. You can even fly over your home, but don't forget your camera. For more information, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. That's ThunderbirdAviation.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-846-2124. 800-846-2124. 800-846-2124. That's 800-846-2124.
If you've ever thought about becoming an airline pilot, now is the time to jump into this exciting industry. Al Momberg here for Academy College of Aviation, where you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. The Bachelor of Commercial Aviation program prepares you for a position with the airlines, as well as private and corporate companies. Academy College offers flexible and convenient scheduling.
Flight training is conducted through Thunderbird Aviation, which has two convenient Twin Cities locations. Academy College offers an RATP-approved program conducted under FAR 141 regulations, which allows a pilot to be hired with the 1,100 hours versus the normal 1,500 hours required. That saves you time and money without compromising the high standards set. With their connections with several airlines, Academy College will help you bridge your degree to a career as a commercial pilot. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. The next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to the World of Aviation. Dr. Bill Blank is our guest. He is a medical examiner and has over 6,000 hours in his logbook. And we were talking about aerobatics, which he has taught approximately 1,200 hours of aerobatics. Describe a slow roll, if you would, to us, doctor.
Sure. The thing about a slow roll is we're talking about not rolling very fast. And, of course, it's harder to do it the slower you're trying to roll. And, you know, anybody can sort of roll an airplane if they just pitch it up and push a stick over, it'll go around. But that's not what we're talking about. And the other thing about a slow roll is you're flying upside down and you're hanging from the belt. And it takes a little while to get used to that. And some people have more trouble getting used to hanging from the belt than other people do. But that's what you need to understand about a slow roll when you see somebody doing one. So you get the entry speed and you pitch it up. And after you pitch it up, you stop. And then you apply, let's say we're going to the left, left aileron and left rudder. And it starts to roll. And by the time you get laying on your left side, you switch gradually from left rudder to right rudder. And you keep going. And when you're on your side, you don't want to pull on the stick and you don't want to push on the stick because you'll change your heading. And then after you're on your side, while you still got the left rudder in, you're starting to come forward with the stick because you have to keep the nose of the airplane up. And by the time you get upside down, you want the nose of the airplane fairly high. So you're pushing there. You continue to roll. And as you get around so that you're on your other side, again, you have to take out the forward pressure on the stick or you're going to wind up off-heading. And then you switch from right bottom rudder, right rudder to left rudder. And you mix all this in. And if you get it right, you come right out on the same heading and the same altitude you were going. And if you don't, you wind up off-heading 30 degrees to the left or 30 degrees to the right. I had that trouble when I was learning. It took me a long time to figure out. But you're mixing a lot of things to get the slow roll to work properly. And once you do it, it's kind of fun. And, you know, I can certainly still do them. But from my point of view, it really separates the men from the boys. And when you watch somebody in an air show, sometimes when you see these guys rolling in a pits or something that really rolls fast, they're doing none of this. Because the thing rolls so fast, it sort of covers up your mistakes.
I would think the most important aspect of doing a slow roll is a really good safety harness.
Yes, but it's kind of interesting. You know, it's the lap belt that holds you in. You're right. Especially when you're first doing this, it's really uncomfortable if you didn't get your belt tight and you can put your hand between your butt and the seat. Later on, it doesn't bother you so much, but you're absolutely right. But something you might not realize, the shoulder harness isn't what holds you in. It's the lap belt. Mm-hmm. And if you have a shoulder harness too tight and the lap belt too loose, it hurts because now your shoulders are hurting you up, and that really hurts. But it's a good lap belt is what you really need.
Dr. Blank, I would like to talk about, I don't know how many years ago it was, but you were a passenger in an aircraft that had an engine go out, and you had to make an off-airport landing, and fortunately, neither you nor the pilot in command suffered any serious injuries. What type plane were you flying when that happened?
Stinson 10A. And It's a little Stinson, a two-seat Stinson, smaller than a Stinson 105. It had a, it had a small Franklin engine. It probably, in retrospect, the engine iced up and we didn't realize it. But at any rate, we were just not over a real ideal place when this happened, and we managed to get it into a pretty short field. Didn't work out so well for the airplane, but it worked out fine for us. We didn't get hurt.
What altitude were you at when the engine stopped functioning?
Probably 1,000 feet above the ground, over the Minnesota Bluffs. You know, all these coulees and valleys and things like that. And
yeah,
we found a field, and it had wires that we didn't see.
Yeah, I was reading that you hit some barbed wire, which slowed you down. But then you also collided with some trees. Colliding with the wire and the trees, I would think that took some of the shock, the force of hitting. Did you hit them with the wings, the trees?
Yeah, we made sure we hit the trees with the wings and kind of went between the two of them. And we really lucked out because we landed on a flat field. And we came to the edge of the field, hit the barbed wire fence, and stopped. And what we didn't realize is right beyond the barbed wire fence, this was a hill that went really down steeply.
Oof.
And after we got untangled, I started to climb out of my door, and I looked down. And, I mean, if I had put my feet down, there wasn't any ground there. You know, I'd have slid 20 feet. And on his side, we could crawl out, you know.
Mm.
But, and this was an airplane that didn't have shoulder harnesses, and we, you know, a lot of the old airplanes, the Cubs didn't. I'm kind of a believer that you should have shoulder harnesses, but we didn't. And we were quite fortunate.
What types of injuries? In the story that I read, minor cuts and bruises. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, I think he had a little. Nobody needed any stitches or anything. It was just a matter of, I think I banged the side of my head on the window on the right side, and I think he hit his chin on the wheel.
That's one of those. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It was interesting. It doesn't take long to get coverage, and it wasn't very long. You know, this was down by Winona, or between Winona and La Crosse, and it wasn't very long, and there was a news helicopter from the Twin Cities there ready to. So, fortunately, we avoided all interviews. It didn't, that was going to be helpful to us.
Near the small town of Pickwick?
Near
Does
the
that sound
small
right?
Town? Yes. And do you know about Pickwick?
Not at all.
Okay.
I know about the town of Kellogg.
All right. I know about Kellogg, too. But Pickwick has an old grist mill. And at one time, Pickwick was one of the biggest mills in the country for making, for grinding flour for the Union troops.
No kidding.
If anybody comes down here, it's worth a drive back there and to look at it. And I guess at one time they had 200 wagons sitting out waiting to be loaded or unloaded. So
now I've got to ask you, how do you know about Kellogg?
I tried to file a flight report one time when I was learning to fly over Kellogg, and flight service didn't know where Kellogg was.
I think that it seems like half the population of Kellogg are all my relatives.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah, that's it's not very often somebody says, "Oh, I know Kellogg."
That's, right.
So thank you. They will appreciate that. Dr. Blank, this has just been a fun hour, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. If you could hold on a second, I'll talk to you off air here. And you have been listening to The World of Aviation with Dr. Bill Blank. Interesting hour. The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, with two locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport.
This is the World of Aviation.
Salmon fishing in Alaska, at an amusement park in Green Bay, or taking a stroll through Loring Park. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
612, The Bird.
Trust is earned and couldn't be more important when you have a house project. With over 13,000 reviews online and a 4.8 on Google, you can trust Early Bird Electric. Early Bird is the troubleshooting expert, your go-to for small projects like adding an outlet or big remodels and rewiring. And yes, Early Bird offers same-day service and 24/7 emergency service. Mention the Patriot and your trip charge is free with repair purchase.
612-THE-BIRD.
Call 612-THE-BIRD or visit 612thebird.com.
Salem Surround partners with your business to deliver custom digital marketing solutions. Surround your target audience wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review to keep your business top of mind. Learn more at minneapolis.salemsurround.com.
AM 1280.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.